When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? Well, the fountain of truth about aging. And this is a continuation of a series that we started a while ago with pet-friendly nonprofits explaining how a tragedy that killed some small children ended up being the basis, the heartfelt basis of a pet-friendly nonprofit started by the mother of one of those children and then exploded into a national policy to help children really appreciate living creatures. And then again, into environmentalism. Well, what a journey that was. And we're going to take you on another journey today. This journey is going to be something a little bit different. It is, again, started with children, but it ends with their future. I'm speaking today with Gretchen Viegas, and she is coming to us from Horizon, Empower the Orphaned. Now, you know, we talk about orphans and we think about kids and we see kids on the street here in the United States and we say, what can we do about it? Well, it starts with the Positive Deviant, the organization that actually knows what to do. And in this case, they're working offshore in Africa, in other areas, and they're learning. And one day they'll teach everybody. So thank you, Gretchen, for being with us today. And tell us a little bit, we were talking off air. Why does Horizon Empower the Orphaned exist?
Thank you, Adrienne, for this opportunity to share more about our organization, Horizon Empower the Orphaned. We're very grateful to have the blessed opportunity to be able to serve and work with orphans. In 2004, Jim Pesky and from Toronto, Canada, and Daryl Heller from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, came together to launch Horizon Empower the Orphaned as an organization that supports bringing children in off the streets and bringing children in Africa, namely Kenya, from the government where they were taken out of homes that were not suitable, and caring for those children, children who had nowhere to go. And so since then, we've been able to grow, not just in Kenya, but also in Latin America, in Guatemala and Honduras. And we are supporting over 800 children right now in ensuring that they have education and that they are well cared for. And they know they have an adult who is going to be there for them as they grow and prosper.
Now, you know, many years ago, when I was still living in the Northeast of the U.S., I supported a group at Montefiore Hospital. A lot of people listening will know of Montefiore Hospital. And it was a heartbreaking situation where kids were taken out of their home, exactly parallel. This is in the Bronx, New York, and you're talking about Latin America and so on, because it was an abusive situation. And after that, they get into what is called the system. And the system doesn't work. So I have to go straight to the jugular. I'm speaking here about kids who are often, they have no parents, their parents may be gone or their parents may be abusive. They're taken into a system that Horizon has learned how to improve. So what I want to get to is, what do you know that we ought to know? How do you go about making things better?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And you're absolutely right. It is a parallel. Just happening in other countries, right, where the poverty is much greater. There isn't access to opportunities and access in rural areas for families, you know, to do, secure themselves, to not be separated from their children many times. So first of all, our micro community is in fact a family. We have parents who are caregivers. And we create a family model where there is an example of a father and a mother. There's an example of good adult leadership and opportunity to rejoice with God and the Lord, but also at the same time, build their own self-esteem and their own self-worth as individuals. But one thing we have learned recently is that many of these governments are now moving towards trying to rehabilitate family of these children as well. You know, we have children who really want to go home. You know, they have a bond with a grandmother or an aunt or a mother. And sometimes, you know, they were taken out of the home due to poverty, due to factors outside of that family's control. And so one thing we've learned is that if we can take on a family outside of the micro community, if we can help that family become stable, we could potentially reintegrate that child and have good success. And we've had a few of those successes recently. So I think our learning is that there needs to be a safe, stable structure that's a family environment for the child. But we need to take that extra step of trying to rehabilitate that family when at all possible. And I think that, in a sense, is not happening in the United States.
So let me say two things. First of all, we do have the problem that all of the rehabilitation of the family goes through family court. So what we have here is a legal system that's is sitting side by side with everything. And the second thing is it is all government paid for because we are a country that has programs and supports those programs financially. The question is, are they the right programs? So we give it a shot, but it doesn't always work. The second thing is that unlike the countries you mentioned, most of these kids are being taken away not because of poverty, but honestly because they've been abandoned or unwanted, or they've been a person in need of supervision, they're acting up and the parents don't want to deal with them, or they have been abused and somebody has reported severe abuse. It's usually not poverty. See, with poverty, you can rehabilitate a family because they really don't want their kids to be taken away. We do have the other situation where most of these parents don't want anything to do with the kids unless they're a moneymaker. So there is different. But what you have brought out is so important, Gretchen, because you show modeling. You are taking responsible adults. This is the big takeaway for me. And you're showing the kids, not just a group session where they get food and some education, but adults that are responsible. And that's wonderful. Now, I got to tell you something. I care very much that you get some money. So you got to know and tell everybody about your coffee before we end this session. tell them a few seconds about this delicious coffee. They can do something just by drinking a cup of coffee. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you saw that there's our Trailblazer coffee. We have an amazing group of colleagues working in Honduras at La Providencia. We have coffee harvest every year, right from the micro community itself, where the children are involved, as well as the community staff that are hired. And we have a partnership with Square One Coffee Roasters out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And this values-aligned partnership has allowed us to ensure that we can not only have a secure market with a great price and all of the proceeds come back to help the operations of Horizon, but it is truly Square One is a company that really cares about what they do and how they do it.
And so we're Horizon's website, go to your website designer and give him a kiss because he made that coffee or she's so beautiful. So give everybody your website before we sign off and we go on to our next segment. What's the website
Absolutely.
So they can buy the coffee?
Absolutely. I will definitely give them a kiss for sure.
And the website is?
www.empowertheorphaned.org.
Got it. When we come back, I'm going to go into two very controversial things with Gretchen Villegas. One is God. She mentioned it. I can talk about it. Can you listen about it? And the other is, well, something she just said, value-driven partnerships. What does that mean? Don't you guys go anywhere.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate. for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. There are two amazing conferences coming up. These are conferences that can, if you know what's going on there, prolong your life, prolong your health, and also help you avoid chronic diseases. What could be better? They are very different conferences. One is called RadFest, and that is the movers and shakers in products and services. And you have to be really careful to know what's right for you and what isn't right for you. What are hype and what's the truth? And this is the Fountain of Truth about aging. And the other, my nearest and dearest conference, because I ran, helped run it for 2 years, and that is Targeting Metabesity. This is a group of geroscientists. Yeah, there is such a thing as geroscientists that look at nothing but the science of aging. And they are the ones that bring the breakthroughs to the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. And they're having another virtual conference. You can take a look at it by going to targetingmetabesity.com. But I will be covering both those as press for you and creating a report, an audio report on both those conferences. And there will be controversy. It's an interesting world of biohacking versus science. So for those of you who want that free audio report, please go to my website, adrienneberg.com, adrienneberg.com. Go to contact Adrian and just say in the message section, yes, please send me the audio after October when both those massive conferences are over and you've finished your report. So just say conference report and I'll know what you mean. Now, right now, we're having an interesting conversation about an unusual topic, and that is the issue of doing something about a very difficult problem. In this case, it happens to be orphans in very poor countries, in Africa, in Latin America. And the folks who are tackling that problem is Horizon, Empower the Orphaned. And Gretchen Villegas is,
yes,
is helping
great.
Them do that. I was hoping they'd do that. And there's a few things I want to cover here. First of all, this is a hardcore show. We just don't, mince words. God's a funny word. Religion is a funny word. Spirituality is a funny word. And we have had many people here, for example, in the field of elder care, who have religious organizations. And my audience has two really different reactions. One, this is great. It's always been the church, the synagogue, the mosque, the spiritual leaders that have made a difference in the world. And the other is, they're just promoting something we don't believe in. So here's my question to you. I'm going to simplify it. Could you have the success you've had with these children, and you've had enormous success, if you didn't infuse spirituality, if it was a purely secular emotional environment? I don't know the answer, and I have no idea how you're going to answer it.
Yes, thank you for that question. I recently visited our Kenya micro communities, Guatemala and Honduras. And what I walked away with was there are two tenets of the foundation that has made it what it is today. Number one is spirituality, and number two is education. And those two together have brought the micro community together to rally behind the children. So the answer to your question is, in the micro communities themselves, in practice, I think without the spirituality, I don't think we would see the unity that we currently see everyone having and making the micro community successful.
It's very interesting because I'm working with a group to help create and help people over 50 start a new business. And you'll see where I'm going with this one. And one of the things that they said, we need a mission statement. We need a vision statement. I said, yeah, but you also need a code of honor. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me. What are you talking about? So to me, that's the secularization of the spirituality. I think that you have both. But part of it to me is part of this is this code of honor. But I say this for a reason, because this is not Gretchen's first rodeo. She's been around for a while, really taking leadership in creating partnerships and strategic alliances and looking at the private sector together with impact investors. So there's an entrepreneurial spirit here too. Tell us a little bit about what you meant by value partnerships and impact investing.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons why I wanted to join the cause and help lead this to scale into the future, all of Horizon's work, is because it not only focuses on the rescue, restore, and empowering of orphans, vulnerable children, and at-risk youth, but it brings it together with investments that are made into social enterprises that then have income, right? The revenue from the social enterprises pay the operational expenses of that micro community. We're talking about real development that actually has an exit strategy, right? And right. The reason it has an exit strategy is because we have value aligned investors that start with a very strong, dedicated, committed board of directors who are from the private sector. They're impact investors. They're not your normal NGO board members. They are people who believe by using investment and being successful with it, you can really give back. You can really be a faith-driven entrepreneur in what you're doing. And I can tell you from being in the field, it's working.
It's the only way that can work, because otherwise, if you know anything about 501c3s, folks, and if you're giving your money, you better know that 50% of their effort and the money goes to getting more money. And if you have something sustainable, because we talk about sustainability on so many levels, from companies to environments to our own pocketbook, this is sustainable philanthropy. And it's the way of the world that it's going. For those of you who have children and grandchildren who are thinking about their own futures, this is a business. This is a career path that never existed, certainly not when I was around. And that is social entrepreneurship. And you can study that. You can study that today. So you should know. But let me ask you, of course, we have the coffee. We have these sponsors. What do they look for in success? And this is a real tough one. You thought the other questions were tough. How do you measure success? You're talking about orphaned kids. Is the success going back home? Is the success growing up and becoming somebody with a wonderful life? What is it, staying and becoming the mentor? How do you measure it?
Yep, this
I'm
is
the investor.
Great...
I want to know.
This is a great question, and this is where it really comes into understanding not only an economic return on investment, but that social return on investment that's so important to our impact investors these days. For us, success means that the best interest of the child has become a reality, that the child can dream and the child can make their dreams come true. And we believe that happens through education, right? Be able to become either an agriculturalist, go to vocational school for carpentry, become a hairstylist, or become a banker, right? Or working for an NGO, or coming back even to work for Horizon, which we have many alumni through our program who do that. For us, success is what the child believes they want to do, where they want to dream, and where they want to get to. We do not, as we would say, not work with children after 18. We work with them all the way through them becoming productive in society and not needing our support anymore. And so we capture social return on investment and give that back to our investors to know there are jobs created, there are dreams that are met, there are families created, and there are social networks that weren't there before.
So I think this is a wonderful place to conclude before we go on to an entirely different topic that we'll be hitting, which is how are you mentoring other organizations, or how do you plan to do that? There are a lot of people listening who are part of other organizations, and they would like to have the success that you've had. So for those of you who are there, do not allow your mind to wander, even if you're not part of an organization. About 90% of my people are volunteers somewhere, and you can help support your group from the information you're going to get in a moment. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. So I'll tell you something about my son. And it will relate to what we're going to talk about. A little bit of a digression. But he is the Vice President of Strategic Communications for Disney Worldwide. So he knows how to tell people stuff. That's why I boil down what he does. And he says to me, Mom, you're always burying the lead. He looks at my articles. You're burying the lead. So what he means by that is the most important thing came like in the middle, right? So I buried the lead here, I realize, as follows. My people, and I call them my people, I feel so possessive about my audience and my readers, they're volunteers. Now, you think this is, you, Gretchen, and I'm speaking today with one of the head honchos over at Horizon Empower the Orphaned, and she is in the field of 501c3. So to her, she's surrounded by volunteers. But statistically, we don't volunteer. We do a couple of clean things after a certain age because we have time, but not a lot of volunteers, as you would expect. And we are a leading country in the number of volunteers. So it's even worse in other countries. We're the best. My listeners are almost all volunteers. And all of them are there just to lick envelopes. They are there to make an impact on the organizations in which they volunteer. And so what I'm going to call upon you now is, you have volunteers and you have investors and you have board members. Each of them has served a certain role that we could call a model. If you are giving a course now, not just for your particular organization, but to anyone who's a volunteer, what would you tell them? Is the best way to make an impact. Just give support, spend more time. I don't know the answer to that because I have 34 volunteers under me and I have to inspire them. So why don't you do my job for me and give me a couple of instances where you saw really outstanding volunteership.
Right. This is a great question. You know, to make any business, even a nonprofit, very successful, everyone is needed. And there are so many different roles to play. Of course, there is providing support via donations, right? Or one-time donations that help to actually further the cause in terms of the monetary piece of what's needed. But so many times, the value of what comes to us is through people's time. We have many organizations, especially website and design companies, that reach out to us and say, well, you know, we're a startup. We're just getting going. But we really believe in what you're doing, and we want to align to what you're doing, and we want to help. Let us develop out your website, or let us create a social, you know, network push out to let people know what you're doing. So I would say that if you think of your skill set and what you enjoy doing, reach out to us and let us know if it aligns in any way, because that's where true value comes. It's not only in the money that comes in the door, but it is matched with all of the innovative, creative ideas and experience that comes together as a whole.
Yeah, I think the issue is that you're able to engage the volunteers. The engagement piece is so important so that it sticks. Now, before we go any further, we thought it was a light, but it's really very heavy. I want you to buy their coffee. We do not take any compensation for anything on this show. So if I think something is really good, I want you to know about it. And really, Honduran coffee is the best in the world. If you go to the website, I'm going to give you that website in a minute. You do have the possibility of volunteering. You have the possibility of donating. And you also have the possibility of buying coffee and many other things. So please, Gretchen, give us the website.
www.empowertheorphaned.org. And make sure it's orphaned with an ED.
Right. .org. And the other thing, of course, is that it's on our website. So if you go to adrianberg.com, when this show is posted, you will have all that information. And we leave that on the homepage for 1 week. And then it's archived forever, as well as on all of the other usual podcasts like Apple and Spotify and BizTalk and many, many others. All right. So let's go back here. A couple of segments ago, Gretchen lodged a complaint. Well, it's her complaint. I didn't have time to discuss the fact that the children involved here come from poverty. And I want you to throw that to you, and I want to explain that, but I want to make a point about it. That helps, because anything that can be helped simply by money in a social situation is really important. But are you rehabilitating the families so that not only do they have enough money to bring the child back to the home temporarily, but on a long-term basis? Meaning that you're really counseling and helping families, not just the orphaned children. So explain that to me so that you have that opportunity to discuss the poverty issue here.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I think you are spot on, Adrian. You know, we are in very rural areas where access to opportunity, especially around education and jobs, is very limited. And thus the families, you know, fall into survival mode. And, you know, much of becoming an orphan or separating from your family in the areas where we work really is a root cause of poverty. The way we're looking at it is more of a full rehabilitation for that family. The economic livelihood is only one part of that. The other part is good parenting skills. The other is being networked into your community, whether it be other government, social services, other NGOs, churches, support groups, anywhere where people cannot feel isolated, right? But it also has to do with the child who's being taken back home. That child, we want to work with the whole family. So not just that the parents are socially and mentally and economically stable, but that the other children also go to school and they receive any type of trauma treatment that they may need in order to, you know, get past things they've lived. Not eating 3 meals a day is traumatic, right? Not having shoes to wear, right? Or not being able to go to school. It's all traumatic. And so the trauma training really is a big part of that, both for the parents and the children. So to your question, it is an entire package that we're looking at. And you are absolutely right that the economics of it, the livelihood piece, is just one piece of it.
So, and of course, these are things that you are documenting and teaching other nonprofits all over the world. And we'll continue to do so in a much, much bigger way. And it's so, so important. So let me end. We're going to have our last segment here with a different issue, and a very different issue. I'm going to express the issue, take a little bit of a break, and come back to discuss it. We are bombarded by envelopes. I cannot tell you how many trees are killed because of 501c3. Sending me envelopes asking for money. I might get two or three the same day from the same group, right? And it's tragic. It's tragic for the environment. It's tragic for the poor soul who has to stand in front of the garbage can and open up these envelopes. And for the organizations who are spending a ton of money on this. When we come back, I would like you to discuss a little bit about the difference in the way you do the fundraising and how we should regard these, what I call the envelopes, the mail. We don't even know how to judge. We sometimes get five or six different solicitations for African charities, one way or another. And they seem to be having the same mission. Very difficult for the average American with some money and a really good heart to know what to do about this. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Build, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. Please, please go. And if you are listening to us on anything other than my website, adrianberg.com, where you can also go to contact and ask for my upcoming report, won't come out until November. With what's going on in biohacking, longevity breakthroughs, legitimate, what I think may be fringy, from the two great conferences coming up, RadFest and Catalyst Institutes Targeting Metabesity, convocations of geroscientists and product developers all about living longer and healthier. So that's adrianberg.com. But if you're not listening to this on our site, go there anyway and ask for the report. But it's Apple or Spotify or any of the other ones we're on. Like us there. Everyone has a way to make a nice comment or to give us a high rating. We certainly want you to do that. Please do that. Now, I want to get back to our guest, who Gretchen Villegas, Horizon Empower the Orphaned. There's a couple of questions I want to ask her that we may be dealing with personally every day, which is opening the envelope, soliciting money. But first, Gretchen, give us your website one more time.
Yes, it's www.empowertheorphaned.org.
So now I'm turning my attention to us as heartfelt donors. We may give $25, we may give $5. I just had a client of mine endow a scholarship for $100,000 a year. Wow. Guess what? It doesn't matter. They're all confused. Period. Mm-hmm. The end. They don't know what to give money to. They don't know where it goes when they give it, nothing.
Yeah.
They're doing it blind, whoever has the best envelope. And of course, as I said, many of my listeners are volunteers, so they'll support their particular organization. So I have a two-part question. One you're going to like, which is please differentiate yourself, because you're not one of those that send thousands of, you know, unsolicited requests and how you do your fundraising. But also help us out. Is there any criteria that we should look for, any place we could see the legitimacy of what's being requested? You're on.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you're right. At this moment in time, we are not bombarding everyone with mail. The funny thing about that is that a large percentage of much of the revenue that's raised by some of the larger 501c3s, it is via mail. And so one of my questions has been, as I've come on to Horizon, is do we develop out, you know, our social sort of networking opportunities to let people know it's there? Or do we look at some of that mail? I think it's a really big question that's kind of out there right now. But here is what I would say to answer your question. For us, the most important is that every single dollar that you're giving has impact. So one of the places where I would look is the Charity Navigator, right? So if you're giving money to a 501c3, the Charity Navigator has a very good kind of rating system to let you know how due diligent, you know, an NGO is. But on the other side of things, if you reach out to an NGO and you ask them, what types of reports do you do every year to show how the money is used? If they say to you, yes, we collect data and evidence and we have it available to you, then it is a very good NGO. If you have NGOs that literally pull their money into general funds and they're not reporting back on any impact, then I would question how much impact, you know, you're actually having. In terms of Horizon, we have a monitoring system that we're using right now to truly show the social and the economic return on investment. And you'd never go wrong giving us funding, because we would always be able to tell you exactly where it went.
And there are the Charity Navigators, there's GuideStar. There's also in the U.S. only, I think, maybe other countries, the IRS. The IRS requires nonprofits to give a lot of information. And that's online. That's online with regard to that. So you could find out what they're earning, what they're paying people. If you, you know, if you're paying $5 or $10, you may not want to take your time for that. But I'm going to make a mention of something that is rarely said to people in the world of nonprofits. By the way, if you don't know, an NGO stands for non-governmental organization. And not all nonprofits or 501c3s are NGOs, but many working abroad are. I happen to be on the NGO Committee on Aging for the United Nations. So that would be a typical kind of non-governmental organization that impacts government. I want to tell you something, Rich, and what bothers me. When money is solicited, particularly for the older adult or children charities, they make the object pathetic. Well, yeah. Because why? It pulls the heartstrings, right? A couple of orphan kids with nothing, right? An old lady, you know, who's hungry. So they use that, and that works. That works, and the problem is it works. And the other problem is it marginalizes those people. So that when you see that image of the old lady who have no food in Pakistan, we all become that old lady with no food in Pakistan, and ageism prevails. It's part of ageism. It's part of marginalizing children and so on. So if you decide to go out with that, I don't know if you're going to get a lot of money showing happy kids, but try to show happy kids.
And that's fine. That's what we do. And we have... We've had a lot of conversation internally about that. And if you go to our website, you see happy kids. You don't see kids in the homes they were taken out of, Adrian. You see kids in the micro community laughing and playing, you know, soccer and eating together and singing together. That's what you see. And you may be right. Maybe there is a little less money coming in because of that right now. But to us, again, going back to what I said earlier, it's the impact of positivity. It's the impact of future generations being happy and productive. And I do think at the end of the day, if people dig deep, that's really what they want their money to go to, right?
I think
the future,
true.
Not the past. But, yeah,
exactly. So what I'm going to finish, I have like two minutes here. I love to travel, and voluntourism is the big word now, right? In mature travel. Are you planning on any of that, where people actually come over and see your facilities, maybe give a helping hand, maybe teach something, particularly the teachers of this world? Is that something on the horizon at all? See what I did there, horizon?
Yes, that was wonderful.
Thank you very much. I'm a real professional, let me tell you.
So we do have people who come and support within the micro communities. But we are also held to the statutory regulations of governments. So because the children who are living on the sites come from the government and we are their guardians, we do have to safeguard our children. And so we do have strong safeguarding guidelines, but we also make those opportunities available for, you know, support and assistance on the site. We're especially looking for English-speaking teachers within our schools as we move forward. Yes.
Well, good to know. And I'll finish by saying that because you are government regulated, and only because of it, what you are learning can be applied here in the United States, because anybody who goes into a private system is not going to be able to stay there unless they are certified by what I call the system of child care, right? And we do have a system, and we have that same sort of thing, because particularly with the children's organizations, predators are very easy to bring into the fold without innocently doing so. So I thank you so much for being with us today. A fascinating conversation, such a great addition to our series on doing well by doing good. Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And for everybody else, you know what I'm going to say? Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I mean, appropriate.